Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. And today we're going to discuss in the first hour news headlines what that has to do with the developing New World Order, Antichrist World Order, that the Bible tells us about. In other words, prophecy and reality, and how it's playing out in the news before us. Good to see a few people there in the chat room already this morning. Okay, first, I guess I'm going to share this this video I found. And this is from the Church Militant. The Church Militant is a, I guess you could call them a radical, rebellious Catholic site, because they're even militant against their own hierarchy. Yeah, they don't have much reverence for the current Pope or hierarchy over there in the Vatican, I guess. So, but they're still, unfortunately, still rabid, what do you call them, idolaters, worshiping transubstantiation and dead saints and things like that, and praying to the Queen of Heaven instead of to God Almighty. Yeah. But anyway, I thought this video was worth, basically, the Pope held hush-hush talks with Pfizer chief, and what came out of it, it's about the payoffs. And actually, this is several years old, but still, it goes from the horse's mouth, so to speak, itself, of rebellious Catholics who don't like the Jesuit Pope, I guess. And these are the same guys that want to, say, preserve the Latin Mass. Yes, how misguided can you be? And, well, not to say that what they're doing is now is any better than the ones that want to get rid of the Latin Mass. And they want to bring back the Inquisition to, you know, jail and persecute heretics like all Protestants, because they are very anti-Protestant, speaking of the Church Militant. And you can find them on the internet, you know, the Church Militant. So they are what you would call rebellious Catholics. And when the Inquisition was happening, the Inquisitions of the past were happening, rebellious Catholics were also included in those Inquisitions, because they would give aid to the enemy. You know, those Protestant or Bible-believing Christians who wouldn't go along with transubstantiation and the Latin Mass and things like that. So, it's anyway, thought this was worth listening to, so let me put this on.
And what is emerging now is Pope Francis's Vatican is a major player in that worldwide conspiracy. The list of players and organizations involved is nothing less than frightening, and it spans the globe. Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum, based in Geneva, Switzerland. Xi Jinping's Communist Party, obviously based in Beijing. Albert Bourla's Pfizer Pharmaceuticals, based in New York. And Pope Francis's Vatican in Rome. And of course, the China-Vatican Accord linking Pope Francis to Xi Jinping. The story involves the funneling of billions, billions of dollars from Beijing to Rome, confirmed now by two independent sources. The first of those sources, Dr. Francesco Galeatti, founder and CEO of Policy Sonar, a Rome-based public policy institute which analyzes how political changes affect world economic markets. He tracks fortunes in zero hedge fund markets. He was the first in the course of his work to uncover billions of dollars moving from Beijing to the Vatican, a discovery Church Militant first informs you about coming up on almost 2 years ago. The second independent and unrelated source is exiled dissident Guo Wangyi, who has accused the Vatican of receiving $1.6 billion every year since 2014 in bribes from the Chinese Communist Party. He says Beijing is paying the Vatican to shut up about China's religion policies, his words. And noteworthy, even to this day, the Vatican has never denied the very public allegations. Before the COVID-19 international campaign of fear, top mainstream media like the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times hailed him as a celebrity tycoon. Of course, Beijing has branded him as an attention-seeking criminal. That Vatican-China relationship, twice corroborated independently, stretches back to years before the pandemic exploded on the world out of a Chinese lab in Wuhan. However, given the emergence of the Wuhan virus, another dynamic appears to have taken shape as well, dovetailing nicely with the already cozy pre-existing relationship. Pope Francis has been one of the leading figures on the world stage, pushing vaccines like crazy. And when news emerged recently by reporter Ed Penton of National Catholic Register and doubled down on by Church Militant's Rome correspondent Jules Gomez that Pope Francis has met secretly, not once now, but twice, with Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla, alarms went off.
This goes
it is coming here.
Against everything the Church stands for, against what the Pope himself has been claiming in terms of social justice, because Albert Bourla and Pfizer are one of the biggest criminals in pharmaceutical history. And to do secret deals with somebody without disclosing either the meetings or the content of the meetings or the agreements that have been made between the two is hugely significant.
Given the close relationship between the Vatican and Beijing, Bourla meeting with the Pope twice was immediately viewed as extremely suspicious, especially given that the Vatican refuses to acknowledge the meeting ever occurred.
We know last year from a very explosive story that thousands of Chinese agents, CCP, Chinese Communist Party agents, had infiltrated different Western organizations, governments, pharmaceutical companies, engineering companies, and Pfizer was infiltrated by 136 agents in their four branches in Shanghai. Albert Bourla is desperate to get into China to sell his products there, and he's invested over $70 million. He's also got tie-ups with a company in China and a company with Hong Kong. So the China angle is very important in the story.
But as they say, there's more. A so-called Catholic media group called Aletheia is going after anyone in the Catholic Church who opposes Pope Pfizer and the pro-vax messaging. Aletheia, with close connections to Magnificat magazine, as well as the Vatican Communications Department and the Pontifical Council for the New Evangelization, leads a newly formed consortium of roughly 30 pro-vax publications. The main job of that far-flung consortium is to squash any rebellion to the Vatican's pro-vax narrative. They formed what's called the International Catholic Media Consortium on COVID-19 Vaccines, and they've collected their efforts on a website fallaciously called CatholicFactChecking.com. Where did the money come from for all of that? Google. Google set up a $3 million fund to get so-called independent media sites to fight what they call COVID misinformation, what they call. Aletheia and its consortium partners were awarded a portion of those millions to conduct their fact-checking and slam any voice in the Catholic world telling you the truth about the COVID tyranny. In an eyebrow-raising revelation, Aletheia's group has on its self-described scientific committee three members of the Pontifical Academy for Life, raising all kinds of ethical questions about an obvious conflict of interest. The Vatican backs the vax, so just how objective could an outfit be when fact-checking about the vax when it has close ties with the Vatican? And more importantly, spiritually speaking, how can a group touting itself as Catholic be taking money from an outfit like Google to shoot down other Catholics opposed to these abortion-tainted, death- and side-effect-causing jabs? But Google isn't the only outfit shoveling big bucks the Alicia Consortium's way. So too are George Soros and Bill Gates. Alitea's consortium consists of various groups that have received over $50 million from the anti-Catholic Soros and Bill Gates. It's all one stinking pot of devil's brew concocted to shoot down any resistance from faithful Catholics, especially faithful Catholics in the media, and especially if those outfits like Church Militant conduct interviews with the likes of Dr. Robert Malone, inventor of the mRNA technology. The people who fund Alitalia and its partners are the exact same people who are killing off Dr. Malone and others from social media and giant tech for telling the truth about COVID. There are multiple things to be disturbed by here. China secretly funneling billions to the Vatican, secret meetings between the Pope and the CEO of the most crooked pharmaceutical company on the planet in terms of history-setting fines, and all of this being conducted under the auspices of the Global Reset Agenda engineered by Klaus Schwab and his World Economic Forum. But perhaps most troublesome is this. Despite Francis's constant going on about being on the side of the poor and wanting a poor church, which actually seems a little difficult to accomplish while communists are handing you billions and billions of dollars in hush money, most disturbing is Francis is doing the exact opposite. He's positioning himself and the church actually against the little man. In major cities all around the world, hundreds of thousands, millions of people have taken to the streets to oppose this COVID tyranny. They're being persecuted by governments who enjoy the backing of these very people and these globalist outfits. Already in Italy, Italians are starting to vociferously turn against the church, rightly understanding the leadership cares nothing for them. Pope Francis will be dead soon enough, but the damage he has done, setting the church against the poor and putting the church on the wrong side of history, all of that will long outlast him. Billions may buy you influence and access at the table of the wealthy, but it can't buy you a single soul.
Yeah, that was quite eye-opening, and you can see Michael Voris there. Much like most of the so-called evangelical and Protestant church, even though he's hitting the mark, he still doesn't see the whole picture. Because, of course, while he is protesting against the current pope, he is not protesting against the biblical and historical Antichrist, because he does not believe that the church culture that he belongs to is actually Paul's 2 Thessalonians great apostasy with its attendant man of sin sitting in the seat of the papacy, as we understand here. And he made the claim that the Pope is being bribed by the Chinese. And I would say that it is the other way around, because China is totally controlled by the Jesuits. As a matter of fact, it was the Jesuits who brought about what has happened over the last half century, taking all of the manufacturing jobs from America and moving them to China. That was a shadow government, yes, a shadow government that works for the Antichrist. That was one of their operations. And as I've said 100 times here, at least, that wherever tyranny is has the greatest hold in the world, there you will find the Antichrist and his shadow government in more full control than anywhere else. And so we could say that absolutely about China. No, the papacy and the Vatican are not getting bribe payments from China. They are collecting tribute from China. That's what they're getting. That's where the billions from China going into the Vatican come from, because the shadow government that works for the Antichrist already has his people there, and the billions have to pour in because they're they're getting graft and tribute from every nation on the planet, and all of the Western nations that are falling into tyranny quite very quickly. It is only because the shadow government of the Antichrist is there. And the scripture is right. Come on, at least be with me on this one. But see, they can't be. The evangelical church is all waiting for the pre-trib rapture speculation that is found nowhere in the Bible, but they conjectured it out anyway, because you can conjecture anything out of the Bible you want. Yeah, just ask the homosexuals. They conjecture their place in the church out of the Bible. But we know the Bible says exactly the opposite. Well, the scripture, true prophecy, doesn't say the opposite, because there is no opposite to a pre-trib rapture. It's a total fabrication on conjecture and speculation. And the problem with it is that they can't recognize the Antichrist, because he, to them, their rapture scheme tells them, it dictates to them that they cannot know who the Antichrist is, because he won't be revealed until the rapture. And then it doesn't matter, because they're going to be raptured out. So what do they care about an Antichrist or a Mark of the Beast or CBDC? What do they care? They don't care at all. They're just sitting over there twiddling their thumbs waiting for the rapture over there at Rapture Ready and Rev310.org or whatever so-called rapture ministry, internet rapture ministries you got out there. They have blinders on, and their own false prophecy that they love so much blinds them to the truth of what's really going on in the world, and to seeing who the Antichrist is and how his shadow government is working. And that's why I showed you this video, because I've been saying these things. But here, we got a man who's pulling back some of the layers of culpable deniability and pointing the finger directly at the Vatican. I mean, I wish we had Protestants and evangelicals that were as dedicated as these people over there at the Church Militant for their cause. And I pray for them, like Michael Voris, the man who was speaking, that he would become a true protestant, not just protest against what the current Pope is doing and how it's the Catholic Church is losing its roots, because it must have been better in the past. That's the fallacy, that it must have been better in the past. What? When they were killing Protestants and committing genocide all over the planet? You know, that must have been better. When they had inquisitions? No. He's living a delusion. He needs to become a full Protestant and protest even against the idolatry, the inquisitions, the idolatry of transubstantiation, and everything that takes the place of the true King of the universe, you know, Yahshua, Jesus, as he really is revealed in the true gospel, that they are saved by grace and through faith, not of works, not of Catholic works and adherence to the idolatry of transubstantiation, all of these inventions of that great whore, or false miracles, I should say, because that's what transubstantiation is. It would be a miracle, but it's a false miracle. So I pray for Michael Voris and all those people over there at Church Militant. Yes. And it's organizations like Church Militant that hold a lot of sway over some of these alternate social media platforms, like especially, I would say, Gab. They're very big over there. But when they start talking about Prodi Jesus and their hatred for Protestants and bringing back the Inquisition, I'm going, you know, how do they, as so-called evangelical Christians, who are embracing, and that's why I'm shadow banned over there at Gab, because I became a paying member over there and all of that, you know, a pro member, and was still shadow banned. And then they started pushing preterism, yeah, and amillennialism. And I go, no wonder I'm shadow banned, because I'm not preterist and I'm not amillennialist, because it goes contrary to their view of creating an alternate world order to stand up against the Antichrist world order that is developing, which they don't see either, because they believe that the church militant is on their side. When the church militant, as soon as it could, it would bring back the Latin Mass and Inquisitions, and probably, if they could rile up enough mob mentality, to kill every evangelical Christian on the whole place of the planet. So there's that. Yeah. Okay, let's see. What else have we got here? Okay, well, while we're in it, and talking about, because that segment right there would get me banned on YouTube. And I don't know. I think, is the church militant banned on YouTube? Because they were talking about China funding the Vatican to push the vax on America in bed with Pfizer. So it doesn't even make sense. And that's why I was saying that it is actually they're collecting tribute from China, because China is a tributary state of the Vatican. And I'll tell you what, Marxism, yeah, that's a Vatican operation. And wherever you see Marxism, it was invented to destroy anything but the Catholic Church. And you'll notice the only church that is surviving in China, yes, is the Catholic Church. It is now the one official church. Well, that's because, you know, even just like they went along with the Nazis and put the swastikas, you know, because the Vatican said they should, in their cathedrals in Germany and wherever the German government, the Nazi government, rose up, well, they would go along with it. And so the same thing is happening in China with the Catholic Church. So, yes, I wonder if the church militant Michael Voris would never even see this video that I did today. I wouldn't mind if he did. Well, I'm going into a break right now. I'll be back after these messages.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And we spent the first half hour or first segment talking about topics which would not be allowed on YouTube. So that segment will not be uploaded to YouTube, and that's the reason why we cannot go live on YouTube. But I'm trying to remember now to start uploading segments that are... Yeah, so I have to say, if you're watching this on YouTube, I won't even be putting this segment on YouTube, but the next hour. So I'll have to notice people that listen to the next hour on YouTube to go to Rumble for the first hour of the broadcast or the full broadcast. That's the way that's going to work. Yeah, because they'll strike me and take everything down. And I have thousands of hours worth of videos up there, which I don't really want to lose, like the entire Inquisition update catalog, or 80% of it is up there. The rest are going on Rumble and Odyssey. So if you want to know, but you can go, if you're interested in Inquisition update, go to inquisitionupdate.org, and it'll take you to a page where all of the archived programs are. Okay, so this segment we might as well talk about other taboo topics, such as this article here. The biggest COVID question: what will happen in 10 years? Or this article here: if kids and teens keep getting COVID boosters, what will happen in 10 years? So we got two articles. I wonder if they're the same article. Let's see. This is from Joseph Mercola, and this one here is from the Children's Health Defense, the defender there. So let's check that one out first. If kids and teens keep getting COVID boosters, what will happen in 10 years? And, oh, this is the same article, Dr. Mercola. So I thought they just titled it differently. So I'm guessing it's the same one. So I'm going to go with the, I'll go with this one here from the Defender, Children's Health Defense. That's Robert Kennedy Jr.'s site there, which I'm sure if he became the president, that the site would continue to do well without him. He has many, many good, able people over there working very hard for the causes that he stands up for. So, and why do I say that? Because he announced, and I played it several weeks ago. I took last week off, but the week before that, so if you watch last week's program, you'll see that I played it. And I haven't heard anything from Robert Kennedy Jr. since then, or anything about him running as president yet. So I guess he hasn't really announced publicly, and he really only announced that his wife okayed it for him if he wants to run. Okay, let's see if we actually have a talker here. Your name and where are you calling from? Okay, we don't have a talker today. We'll keep praying for that silent caller who faithfully calls in to every program. Okay, anyway, here we go. If kids and teens keep getting COVID boosters, what will happen in 10 years? The COVID-19 vaccine inhibits the type 1 interferon pathway, an immune molecule that protects cells against invading pathogens. So mass injecting young children may erase natural herd immunity that would develop if children remained unjabbed. And it's not just talking about the COVID flu virus thing, supposedly, but your immunity against everything. Yeah. So, story to glance. So far, children have been largely unfazed by COVID-19 because their interferon pathway works really well. Interferon is an immune molecule that protects cells against invading pathogens. The COVID-19 jab inhibits the type 1 interferon pathway, so mass injecting young children may actually erase the natural herd immunity against COVID-19 that would develop if all children remained unjabbed. Aggressive cancers have exploded among adults who got the shots, even though it's only been a little over 2 years since their rollout. And so that immunity is not just against some COVID-19 flu virus that was supposedly loosed from a wet market or something. But yeah, it inhibits cancer and other things too. Analysis of U.S. Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report data suggests the Center for Disease Control and Prevention is redesignating cancer deaths as COVID-19 deaths. Oh, how handy. If you die from cancer, you've actually died, according to the CDC, you've actually died from COVID-19. And this way they can drive up the numbers. They're still doing it. You think it's over, folks? They don't think it's over. Yeah, they don't think it's over. They're still, I heard today, I was listening to, I think, David Knight yesterday, and he said that, yeah, they're still requiring it for if you want organ transplants, you have to get the COVID jab. Seems kind of like to kind of work against the reason for the organ transplant is so you can live longer because you need a new organ. But if you get the jab, it just might kill you and your organ. Yeah. But hey, they're still requiring them. And also for people who want to fly from other countries into the U.S., they got to get COVID jab, whatever. Yeah, see, it's not really over. They don't think it's over, and they don't want it to be over. And that's why they put on the children's jab schedule, you know, vaccine schedule for children. And that's why he's talking about this. If kids and teens, and they're going to give them a booster every year if it's on the schedule. That's the idea. There you go. Continuing, we've also seen massive increases in excess mortality from abnormal clotting issues, heart problems, since the COVID-19 kill shots rolled out. If side effects such as cancer, heart disease, stroke are killing worker-age adults in unprecedented numbers already, what will the excess mortality be, say, 10 years from now if children and teens keep getting mRNA boosters every year? What will the future hold for people whose exposure to COVID-19 occurs during the first years of their life? That question was recently asked by Catherine Wu, a staff writer at The Atlantic. Wu writes, "To be a newborn in the year 2023 and almost certainly every year that follows means emerging into a world where the coronavirus is ubiquitous. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, this virus will be one of the very first serious pathogens that today's infants and all future infants meet." Really? We'll continue with the article here. Eventually, the expectation is that the illness will reach a stable nadir, at which point it may truly be another common cold. As a matter of fact, I think that's what it already may be, since that's probably it was never more than that, than a common cold or a regular flu virus. So I think they're just quoting this author at The Atlantic to make a point here. The full outcome of this living experiment, though, won't be clear for decades, as well as after billions of people encountered the coronavirus for the first time in adulthood are long gone. In 10 years, they're going to be long gone. Well, if you're my age, yeah, that's more. If you're 70 plus, then yeah, it's more likely that you'll be long gone in 10 years than for younger people. But nope, that's not the truth anymore. It's more likely for anyone who took a jab or the jabs, and especially if they got two or three, that they will be long gone in 10 years. Okay, the experience today is, yes, the experiences that today's youngest children have with the virus are only just beginning to shape what it will mean to have COVID throughout a lifetime when we all coexist with it from birth to death as a matter of course. In other words, it will be like this author who wrote this clip, this little snippet they put in this article here, is a true believer, apparently, in everything that Tony Fauci says. We'll put it that way. So, anyway, Wu praises the COVID-19 jab as being part of why we can't be hopeful for future generations that have to live with this new virus. But is that really realistic? Right now, everything points to the COVID-19 shot being a disaster. No one actually knows what the long-term effect will be on children who get it. Well, we do know what the short-term effects are. And I think the long-term effects will even be more horrendous. For instance, the first short-term events, side effects are myocarditis, instant death, sudden death, sudden adult death syndrome, things like that. But speaking of children, and Wu highlights the fact that children's immune systems have the advantage of marshaling hordes of interferon, an immune molecule that armors cells against viruses. This is thought to be a primary reason why COVID-19 isn't nearly as lethal in young children as in older adults. So let's give them the jab to kill it, right? The problem it completely misses is that the COVID-19 jab inhibits the type 1 interferon pathway. So mass injecting young children may actually erase the natural immunity against COVID-19 that would develop if all children remained unjabbed. The shots will not, as Wu suggests, help us achieve herd immunity at all. Of course, if I say this, if I put this video on YouTube, on Google's YouTube, then I would get a strike and likely lose my channels over there immediately. Yeah, because they're still doing that over there. They have not given up. And what you saw in the video from the first segment, the connection between Google and the Vatican. That I think they're just doing their master's bidding and giving their master cover at the same time. But the good news, as I've said before, the Bible reveals to us that the cover is going to be blown, and the 10 horns representing the 10 divisions of Western Europe are going to turn on the whore, on the head of the beast, the denominated by the whore, because it's the whore that's riding the beast right now, meaning that is in control of the beast. And it is so obvious that she is, because of lockstep worldwide. Yeah. And that's when something happens lockstep worldwide, you know it requires a worldwide controlling mechanism to cause that lockstep to happen worldwide. And that's exactly what we have in the Antichrist and his shadow government. So cancer rates in young people will likely rise. Mass injecting children with a drug that impairs their immune system may also, rather predictably, result in exploding cancer rates. Already aggressive cancers have exploded among adults who got the shots, even though it's only been a little over 2 years. For example, data from the Defense Medical Epidemiology Database, historically one of the most well-kept and most heavily relied upon medical databases in the world, showed that compared to the previous five-year averages, cancer among U.S. Department of Defense personnel in 2021 skyrocketed. Overall, cancers tripled among servicemen and their family members after rollout of the kill shots. Breast cancer went up 487%. Exploding cancer rates are also seen elsewhere. Indeed, the explosion of cases is so bad that cancer is now one of the top three leading causes of premature death among working age adults, a trend that in turn has driven down U.S. life expectancy by 3 years. Yeah, and all that's happened since 2021. Life expectancy has dropped precipitously. That's a precipitous drop for 3 years to go down that much. Yeah, 3 years and since 2021. So it's only in less than 2 years. That's a huge drop. Let's see what else we got here. Cancer relapses. Oh yes. And we noted earlier that the CDC is now denominating cancer deaths as COVID deaths so that you'll believe it's from the virus. See, they're not done yet. So by doing that, they're raising the death count for the COVID virus, so that they can keep the vaccine still under EUA, emergency use authorization, so that they can keep it going and even bring it back. See? But when actually the cancer deaths are not from the virus, but from the cure, the supposed cure. And I agree with David Knight and others that this is all intentional. It's actually a vaccine against people, not a COVID virus. The virus is us, and they want to euthanize as many people to bring down the population of people who they consider to be the virus on planet Earth. To save the planet, they want to kill as many of us as possible. And see, this would not be allowed on Google for me to say that. And other people are saying it. And we have it out of their own mouths, especially Bill Gates, who is a huge player in the Antichrist shadow government plan. Because, see, the Antichrist also owns the money, and we're speaking about money and how all the nations pay tribute, because who's in control of those nations? And they get all the money they want, which is actually stealing the labor of the people. That's all the money power is. Once they have the money power, they have the medium, because that's what money is today. It's a medium to steal the labor and life of each and every individual on the planet. Get that, because that's what money is today. Money is not silver and gold. It is not a commodity like the money that we had in the past, where every man could own his own money, could hold it in his hand. It was his. And the value wouldn't change. An ounce of gold would still be an ounce of gold. An ounce of silver would still be an ounce of silver. It didn't matter what the government did. But now we don't own the money. The Antichrist and his shadow government is banking cabals that are everywhere in the world. And then there's this thing going around is, oh, they want World War III to cover up, and they're doing all these things just to cover up their bad management of money powers and their destruction, and to cover up the destruction and fail of the United States. They're all doing all this on purpose. They're trying to cover everything up. Everything they're doing is leading to a more tight grip on totalitarian rule of the entire world. They aren't bringing about World War III as a cover-up. Now, you know, there are people in the government that have that kind of motivations because they're corrupt and they don't really have a clue what is going on. And so they're trying to cover up their corruption and the deleterious effects of their corruption on the economy and everywhere in the world. They're trying to cover it up, but it's all falling right into the plan that the Antichrist and his shadow government have for an entire takeover, because they want a collapse of every economy in the world, of every government in the world, because they find that, yes, they have more control when governments lose control. Your name and where are you calling from?
Is there any good news?
Yes, there's always good news. Otherwise, I couldn't sit here and smile, Bill.
I'm just trying to figure out, with gold and silver, how do you actually use it to exchange with people? I mean, don't you have to convert it back to regular fiat currency?
Well, yeah, but you can do that at the gas station. Just find one of them Arab-run gas stations. They'll give you your silver dollars worth of gas. And yes, you can. No, but you can hold it and you can convert it before you use it at the time you need it. And that way you don't lose your value by holding on to it.
I convert it. Like, say if I'm going to buy something that costs $10,000, could I use gold outright, or would anybody?
Oh, yeah, there are many people that would take, you know, a half an ounce of gold for $1,000 purchase. Especially if when they start using wheelbarrows to carry their cash around, like they did during the Weimar Republic days in Germany, when they had their massive inflation. So when it becomes when the inflation starts doubling every day, then everybody's going to be looking for gold and silver, something stable to hold on to, or any commodity really.
Use it actually myself practically without having to spend with a bank account. That's what I've been thinking of.
Yeah, well, if you have your money in a bank account, they can turn it off and it can disappear, and it's dropping in value quickly anyway. So
if I have my house tax, if I take a gold thing there, will they accept it in the county?
It depends on what state you're in. Some states accept gold and silver as money by law. Yeah, I wouldn't know about your state. But I know we'll find a way when the time comes.
California does or does not?
No, we'll find a way when it comes. The time comes that we have to use our gold and silver. We'll find a way to do it.
All right, thank you.
All right, Bill. Have a good day. Anyway, that was kind of off the topic. I was talking about... the cancer rates, and that would have been a great question because I was going to talk about that in the next hour. And I will talk about it a little more because I was going to talk more about the banking crisis and CBDCs in the next hour. But this hour I'm finishing up talking about the COVID thing. And so back to that. So cancers are up. Well, basically it boils down to this. It's a government. It's all planned. The whole idea behind it is to kill off more people, even if they have to do it. Some people died instantly, suddenly. Some people died within 48 hours, but the majority of the people will die within 5 years. Yeah, or 10 years. From the effects of the jab. I have a friend who's 4 years older than I am. He's 74. And he went a different route than me back 10 or 15 years ago. Because when he turned 62, he decided to go ahead and collect Social Security and retire. And so that's what he did. And he got into a retirement complex, where he had his own room, his own little apartment complex there, and he was just eking by on Social Security and everything else. So he got into that whole mentality, and I met him in the store about a week ago, and he's walking around in a daze. And he told me, I keep falling down. I says, well, I says, did you get the vaccine? He says, yeah, I got three of them. And I said, no wonder, And now it's like he's not all there anymore. He's walking around in phase and he complains. He keeps falling down. He just got back from the doctors. He's telling me about some of his doctor trips and he doesn't have any clue how he got there, why he's there and the things they're doing to him just blew my mind. All I can say, people, is don't take the jab. Whatever you do, don't let your children take the jab. Tell everyone you can not to take the jab. Send them that video, Died Suddenly, from Stu Peters Network. Okay, that's all we have time for in this hour, but I will be back. Don't go anywhere. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation: An Apology for Reformed Premillennial Historicism in the 21st Century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition, and we're going to talk about, well, prophecy and reality. They seem to be clashing as we speak, coming to fruition as far as, say, the Mark of the Beast, one big thing that's going on. And as I intimated earlier, that if you're an evangelical in America, and you're waiting for the rapture to happen. As a matter of fact, you have been setting dates frequently and keep getting disappointed. Well, that's going to keep happening. So I'm just waiting for them to build that temple over there. Then they'll have no excuse, because that's one of the key events that's supposed to kick off the seven-year tribulation that's supposed to come after they're raptured out. So when it happens, they'll be doing all of us a favor by starting that project over there on the Temple Mount. And I believe they're going to get it. It's just a long time coming. So the rapturists, Rapture Ready, Rev310.net, and 100 other so-called internet rapture ministries. How can you have a ministry about something that's not even in the Bible? But they do. And these people are dead serious about it too. They really believe in their speculation. They believe their speculation so strongly that to them it's the truth. And that if anyone doesn't believe in their speculation, that they're deceived. So you're deceived if you don't believe in the speculation. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? And boy, they hate to admit. You can't even get them to barely admit, if at all, that their speculation is a speculation. Yeah, because it's the only true speculation I've ever heard of. Well, I mean, you know, there are other people who believe in other speculations that they believe that are true too, but a speculation will never be anything other than what it is, speculation. They can't accept that though, unfortunately. But they're going to have to come to grips. And that's the beauty of their belief, is that when they aren't raptured out, they have two more rapture positions to hold on to. It's diabolically beautiful, you know, this speculation, this false prophecy speculation, because when they start building the temple over there on the Temple Mount, they have their Abraham Accord thing going on, and nobody's raptured out, then they're just going to say, oh, we were wrong. It wasn't pre-trib. It was mid-trib. Yeah, so we have to wait 3.5 years now. So they'll twiddle their thumbs for 3.5 years while they try to figure out what to do about the Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast. It says, but the Antichrist would not be revealed until they were raptured out. So I guess they'd have to wait three and a half more years for that to happen. Yeah. Doesn't make any sense. Yeah, but... And then when they go 3.5 years into the 7-year tribulation deception period, and they're not raptured out after 3.5 or 4 years or 5 years, that will they then give up on the tribulation and pre-tribulation rapture? Well, yeah, they have to. And they'll give up on the mid-trib, but then they'll say, oh, no, it's post-trib. Yeah, post-tribulation. Because to them, it's a 7-year tribulation period. That's a speculation, too, by the way. Yeah, that there is a 7-year tribulation period that's distinct around which their raptures revolve. So they'll say, no, well, it's post-trib. That's why I don't, a lot of people are post-trib. So, but I'm no trib. Well, I'm not no trib, but I'm no 7-year trib deception person. Because I believe in tribulation. You know, Jesus said, in this life you will have tribulation. And by golly, we're having it, you know. I mean, if what we've been going through for the last couple of years doesn't qualify for tribulation, well, I don't know what does. What do you expect, you know? Oh, I know what they expect. All of the conflagration of the last 2,000 years to happen in 3.5 or 7 years, that's what they expect. But then when does it happen if it's post-trib? What if they go through the pre-trib and the mid-trib, and then it's going to be post-trib? Well, when does all that stuff take place? You know, that was spoken of, that they were supposed to miss out on, that they embraced the pre-trib rapture, because that's why I would embrace the pre-trib rapture. I get to miss out on all that tribulation that's supposedly going to happen after I'm gone, right? I mean, that's what caters to the flesh. I mean, who wants to go through tribulation if you don't have to? Raise your hand. Well, I don't see any hands going up out there. Yeah. If I could see any, I'm sure none would be going, oh, yeah, hey, sign me up for tribulation. I'll go for that. No, you're going, miss out on tribulation. Yeah, then they're raising their hands and going, oh, yeah, we got to embrace that. We got 10,000 conjectures that verify it. Look, you know, God called Noah and his family into the ark, and then he shut the door. That's a picture of the tribulation, yeah. And things like that. I mean, it goes on and on and on. The 10,000 conjectures to support the tribulation. None of them explicitly state anything about a pre-tribulation rapture, but they all support it. Yeah. You know, I mean, you can pretty much find a sentence or a phrase anywhere in the Bible to support anything you want. You know, you don't want to believe in God? Well, the fool has said in his... Oh, yeah. The scripture says there is no God. If you read the whole thing in context, the fool has said in his heart there is no God, but hey, it's still there. That's a supporting scripture for there being no God, isn't there? So you can conjecture the scripture just like that for anything. And that's what they do. But here we have it. We have CBDCs rolling up, and they can't look at it. They can't say it's the mark of the beast because they haven't been raptured yet. So they can never say it if they're going to if they're going to be raptured out before it happens. So it changes your whole mentality, the way you think. You don't have to prepare for that, or your children. You don't have to prepare your children for that. You're just an escape artist. Yeah, you're a runaway. You get to run away from the tribulation. Oh, but not your fault. You're not really a coward because supposedly Jesus is going to snatch you away from tribulation. So even though you'd like to get out there and face it head on, right? Yeah, Jesus is going to snatch you away, and you can't help what Jesus does. After all, you know, look at all those 10,000 conjectures in the Bible that support your speculation. But yeah, that's what makes it, makes people want it, makes it, yeah, so that they want to embrace it because it saves them from having to go through what has to be the most horrible period on the whole earth. Because starting with the you know, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. As soon as the rapture happens, the first horseman is going to be loosed on the earth, and, you know, and then all of the seals, and then all of the trumpets, and then all of the vials all poured out in 3.5 or 7 years. And man, you know, so that's how they sell it to you. That's how I bought it back in the 1970s and 80s. I'm going, whoa, wow, that's going to be something. I don't want to be here for that. Yeah. Yeah, I'll take my rapture ticket right now. I will hold it in my pocket. I will cherish it with everything I have just to make sure I don't have to go through that. Yeah. The worst thing that ever could happen on the whole planet, and unlike any other time in the, you know, all of the conjectured verses that they conjecture to make it so that you'll buy your rapture ticket. And all that rapture ticket selling for one purpose, because it was invented by a Jesuit to vindicate the great apostasy and the seat of the papacy from being, yeah, Paul's identified great apostasy and man of sin. Because that's why they invented it, because the church, many people were coming out of her, as the scripture, as the revelation called them out of the Roman church. See, it's not a universal church if it's Roman, is it? You know, people were figuring out little things like that. Plus, the Bible was being printed, so people were starting to read the Bible and go, hey, something's wrong here, you know. And they started coming out and identifying the Roman church as the great apostasy, and its governor, the man, as the man of sin, you know, the guy who sits in the papal on the papal throne with his triple tiara crown on his head, taking the place of Christ on earth, usurping and with Christ's place with their miracles and transubstantiation, and supplanting the Queen of Heaven for the Son of God and the King of the Universe. Yeah. People started reading the Bibles and going, that's not right. That's not what the book says. And and if they're right, what are they going on? Certainly not going on this book. If they're not going on this book, it means they're just making it up as they go along. And if you go through the history, you find out when they made what up. You know, it wasn't so from the beginning. You didn't see the apostles who established the church in the first century. You didn't see them teaching none of that transubstantiation and Queen of Heaven stuff. Yeah, none of that was going on then. So people started realizing and calling them out. And that's why they developed the alternate view of prophecy. Yeah. But this people, 310.net and Rapture Ready and 1,000 other so-called internet rapture ministries, no, they got blinders on. They can't see that. They don't want to see it, because they bought in completely the escape, the great escape that they're going to make, that God is going to snatch them away before anything bad happened. Well, the bad is happening now. Yeah. Genocide is going on under the guise of a vaccine to save your life is actually killing people. Yeah. That's quite a tribulation we got going on. All of the free nations that were established on biblical and Protestant liberties are all being destroyed because the Antichrist has been healed. That's right. The deadly head wound that took away his and ended his 1260-year reign in history. This is all history. That's why they don't teach you history. That's why they don't want you to know history. Because if you knew history, if you knew about the reign of the Antichrist for 1260 years that happened according to the Bible prophecy that was written before it happened, that even the early, the first century, second century church fathers understood. Even Paul says, remember when I was with you, I told you these things, that he was giving them in cryptic language, But he says, I told you plainly about these things when I was with you, things that he wouldn't write, because he would not write that when Imperial Rome falls, then the Antichrist will be revealed. But that's what they understood, and that's what some of the early church fathers wrote themselves as their understanding, as having learned it from the apostles, that when the Roman Empire fell and Western Europe, or that empire, was divided into 10 nations, then the Antichrist would be revealed. And that was being written in the second century, after the Revelation was written. But they were speaking about what Paul had taught the church, the Thessalonians, who said, remember when I was with you, I told you these things. And I guess he would have told them plainly in person, perhaps, that yes, it is the Roman Empire. When Imperial Rome falls, when the Caesars fall, then the nation will be divided into 10, and the Antichrist will be revealed after that. That's what he told them. That's what they understood. But that doesn't fit with today's rapture left behind prophecy of dispensationalism, dispensational futurism. So they can't hear it. They can't see it. And they don't want to either. Anyone who doesn't believe in the rapture, they believe that that's just beyond the pale. As I had one guy told me, next thing you'll be saying that there is no rapture. And of course, since they've supplanted the word resurrection with the word rapture, so if you say there is no rapture, automatically people think, well, he doesn't believe in the resurrection. That's how mind-controlled how brainwashed they are. But I definitely believe in the resurrection. But I don't believe it's going to happen on the rapture schedule. And that's why I wrote my book, and the book is called The Abraham Accord. So I wrote this book here, and explaining that. And so if you haven't read this book, you should definitely get a copy from me. And here, I'm even going to put it in the chat room right now, so that if you can spread it around, send it to everyone on your email list or on your phone device, everyone on your phone list. Please share it. It's free. I get $10 a copy every time someone opens it up and reads it. No, I don't. I get nothing. People say I'm doing it for the money. Well, it's the plan isn't working so far, if that was the plan. Oh, you write books so you can make a lot of money. Well, believe me, that's not working out very well for me, especially when I give copies away like this. And if you miss it, you're hearing this later on, go to my website, nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, and there's a free ebook tab there, and you can get a copy, a PDF of the Abraham Accord. And like I said, when I send it to you, share it with everyone. I just ask that you, when you ask for it, you share it on your social media or something, the page there. But that's all I ask. Nothing else. Yeah. Because people need to understand what is going on, what I'm telling you about right now. If they read the book, they'll understand it. And not only that, they'll understand more because they get into the mechanics of the scripture and show them where the fallacy is and how they twist the scripture, especially the Daniel 70 weeks prophecy to create the delusion that many people are under today, how they abuse the scripture. And that would be my peeve against all of these people that have these rapture ministries. And there has to be some point. I even send them all my book. Yeah. And then they ban me and take the links down because they don't want people to read this book. Believe me. Neither will they come over here. And because I challenge anyone on anything in this book, especially the Daniel 70 week portion of the book. I challenge anyone on it. Show me where I'm wrong. Show me. Yeah. Show me why my interpretation is less acceptable than yours. Show me where the Bible excludes my understanding of prophecy. Well, they can't. Because the scripture, it is the understanding of the scripture. Because I'm going with things that are explicitly stated. Speculation is not good enough for me. That's why I can't accept the pre-trib rapture. That's why I can't accept amillennialism even. Because they're both speculation and they're built on conjecture. Solely on conjecture. Nowhere in the scripture is either one of those propositions explicitly stated anywhere. And see, I always look for at least one explicit statement. And more than that if I can. And I like as many explicit statements that I can get from the scripture to back up my position on the scripture. And that's where I stand. And that's what this Abraham Accord book is about. So make sure you get that and read it for yourself. The link is in the chat room right now. And like I said, you can get it later on by going to my website, crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. And click on the free ebook tab there and order it. Like I said, share it with everyone you know. And we'll see how many people we can save from the 7-year tribulation deception, the pre-tribulation rapture deception. There's nothing in that book about amillennialism. I treated that later as a separate topic. But the important thing is that these people need to understand they're going to be going through an inquisition coming up real soon. We have several articles here. One is, our bank failure is a sign of more trouble ahead. Well, it's more of a, more than a sign. It's a design. It's something that they've designed to, work out their purpose. So that's what the bank failures are a sign of. As a matter of fact, they took all of the safeguards. They started removing the safeguards in the late 1980s. All of those safeguards that were put in after and during the Great Depression to save us from bank failures and stuff. Well, they took all that out in the 80s and 90s of the last decade. And, of course, what happened? We have bank failures now. But they did it on purpose to bring about their one world mark of the beast monetary system with its attendant inquisitions. Because the 1040 or mark of the beast inquisitions will be coming. And 2030 is their target date. And that's why they're working right now so hard to get it all in. And likely they will get it. Hopefully not in America. I'm hoping that we can still have one bastion of freedom where where the liberties at least seem to vary from state to state in America. I'm hoping we can hang on. Now, World War III and atomic bombs, well, that kind of put a hole in their one world monetary system plan, won't it? Because don't they need the internet for that? So they can't be blowing up the grid and all of that. But it may be a blessing. I don't know. How could an atomic war be a blessing? Well, if they're going to have wars and start killing people and it gets out of control, then they'll never realize their dream of a one-world monetary mark system. And so you better believe that they don't really want that. They would like it limited to places, you know, it's like what's going on in Russia. And you got to look at all these wars, or most of these wars that are going on, especially if you see something like NATO or something that is controlled by a world governing entity. Read cover for the Antichrist and his shadow government like NATO, the UN, the EU, or Washington, D.C., another wherever there's a concentration of power of that type. You know, the Antichrist and his shadow government, they're there. That's why the EU, United Nations, and NATO, and Washington, D.C. are all concentrations of power. That's where the Antichrist has the most power. So
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a Live Prophecy Reality Edition. And we're just talking about the CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency. They want the federal government. They're going to have FedCoin. And basically to give us everything that we have now, but they get more totalitarian control and they get to program your money. Some of the ideas they're coming up with is negative interest rates. An expiration date on a coin. So you have to spend your money within a certain amount of time. Otherwise it expires. How about that? Yes, you can now see the attraction perhaps of silver and gold. If you have a silver or a gold coin, or even a copper coin, because a copper penny is worth more than a penny now. Yeah, that's why they don't make them out of solid copper anymore. But they used to be made out of solid copper, and they used to be less than a penny's worth of copper in that solid copper penny. But when it becomes more than a penny's worth of copper to make the copper penny, well, you get the idea. I don't even know why they make any denominations less than a dollar, because a dollar is what a penny used to be. Why are they messing around with these coins? I don't know. They've debased the currency so much in the last, since the Federal Reserve coup, or I should say the Antichrist Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury in 1913, because that's exactly what it was. It was an operation of the Antichrist in his shadow government. Why? Well, to get where they're getting today. And they knew eventually. They're very, very patient people, especially their master, Satan, is very patient. Yeah. He does things generationally, looking a generation ahead to see the results. I mean, he's not going to die very soon. As a matter of fact, he's going to rot in a prison forever when his job here is done, speaking of Satan. But anyway, I had Bill who called in the first hour when I was talking about the other taboo subject. And I'm not sure this one on the CBDC, I don't think it's taboo yet on Google, though it may be soon. Who knows? But what will we do? Okay. So I acquired some gold early in the century here, or between 2000 and 2004, I acquired some ounces of gold then. And I bought some silver then too. And I've just kind of been sitting on it. Well, I did spend quite a bit of it, you know, when I had emergencies. I used that savings for what you use savings for. You know, if you don't use credit cards and things like that, because I don't use credit cards, and I don't borrow money from banks, because banks won't let me money because I refuse to use their numbering system, for my own reasons. Okay. And I started protesting against the number, since the early 90s and refused to use it since then. And so I haven't. But I may have a little bit of savings, and I do have some silver. And so when the time comes, Bill was asking, well, how will you be able to? I know I can go down here to the Arab gas stations that are all over California. Just pick one where they sell gas and groceries. And you walk in there with a silver dollar and you hand it to him, and he's going to look it up on his computer right away and give you the day's quote on how much gas you can get with that silver dollar. I mean, I've done it. It's happened, you know, and you can do that right now with some places. But I believe that when the dollar starts going up, when the inflation rate becomes, you know, 10% per month and maybe 10% per day, everybody's going to be looking for something a little more substantial. You got any substance? Because that's real money is substance. Whether it's salt, whether it's beans, bullets, or anything of value that can be traded, that you could have a quantity of. And I would suggest having all of those things, beans, bullets, and silver and gold for large purchases, because gold is nowhere near what it should be. It hit 2000, I think, last week, and then back down to 1900 and something. And, you know, gold has been pretty stagnant for a year or so, bouncing back and forth between 2000 and 1800 for several years. And people, oh, gold isn't doing anything. Okay. So since 2000, has gold done anything? Well, yes, it was like $300 to $400 an ounce at the beginning of this century. And now it's at 1900, 2000, and it's about to explode, because it's hard to just sit there. But you can take your dollars and trade them in right now for gold and silver. It's back down a little bit. And if you want to maintain your wealth, and then when you need a gallon of gas or groceries, you just take your silver dollar or your silver quarter or your half ounce gold coin or 10th ounce gold coin, $10 gold piece, whatever it is you got. And they look it up on the computer and they give you the day's value in dollars for it. That's how that works, Bill. Yeah, and if you don't believe me, try it for yourself. I don't know where you said Ohio. So I'm sure you got some Arab, Middle Eastern type guys running a gas station or a Minute Mart over there somewhere with a gas station. Take a half a dollar or a silver dollar down there and say, well, I'd like to get, you know, figure it out for yourself. Let's say it's worth $25 or whatever. I'd like to get $20 worth of gas with this silver dollar. Can you do that? He'll go gladly, because he's going to make a couple bucks right away. Or when it's become an item of trade and they're preferring silver over a dollar that is daily decreasing in value. Right now, the decrease is only, I mean, what's true inflation right now? What is true inflation? I don't know, somewhere between 18 and 30% right now. And it doesn't seem to be slowing down any. Huh? So, which means it's only going to get worse when you see them bailing out banks beyond the insured limit? You go, what is going on here? The government, nobody does that. No insurance company goes, ah, forget the limits. We're gonna give you everything. Yeah. You know, you could crash your car and it costs, you know, $300,000, but you only had $100,000 worth of insurance. Ah, we'll pay the whole thing. No, something's wrong with this picture. And anyway, I thought the Congress set all the rules for the banks. And didn't they set a $250,000 limit for each account or each bank or each depositor or something like that? And I didn't hear that Congress passed legislation, emergency legislation. So that means that the Treasury Department, Janet Yellen, isn't really under the purview of Congress then, if they can just go, we're gonna pay billions to all these account holders from Israel because we don't want to be embarrassed on the national stage. Yeah. And they didn't tell you that most of that money went to Israel. I did hear about that on True News. Because True News has a good news program. I'm not going for their miracle money stuff. And you know, since I put out a video, if you want to check out the video I did on miracle money and True News a year or so ago, since I did that video, they have not gone with their miracle money rant. So I'm glad I did that. Yeah. What? No gold and silver coins in banks? No. Some states have passed laws that gold and silver is money, basically. So they have to give you on par for Federal Reserve notes, which are not money. Yeah, which are bad money. But, you know, they have to give you on par value for whatever currency they are taking, which would be Federal Reserve notes. And I think that ought to be in every state. And that's something that people should do on the local level, is try to get that passed in their states. I think Utah's done it. I can name one. But I'm sure, I think there's like 20 states that have state banks and are accepting gold and silver. So I don't expect that to happen in California unless we oust the Jesuit governor and the Jesuit governing cabal that runs California, you know, the state of California, that fiction over here floating above the land. But you never know. When things are going haywire and the currency starts to fall in America, that's when the Antichrist thinks he's going to pounce. But, you know, things become unpredictable. And even the Word of God says that he will have them in derision. You know, Psalm 2, that he will have them in derision, even though they counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, that he who sits in the heavens shall laugh, and he shall have them in derision. So I'm hoping for a little derision. And I think there's plenty of that to go around. And when derision and chaos is our best hope, then you know things are really bad. But, you know, the good news. Bill also asked me about the good news. The good news is Jesus Christ and his offer of eternal life through his shed blood as a propitiation for our sins, and the resurrection from the dead. See, because at the end of it, we're all going to die anyway, right? Everyone who ever lived before us and didn't make it to 120, they all died. And I don't know anyone who made it to 140 or 50. I don't know any 200-year-olds. I don't know, probably likely haven't been any 200-year-olds since shortly after the Great Flood, because longevity started decreasing rapidly after the Great Flood. And it got to the point where God said in his word that he would give us 70, 80 if by reason of strength, speaking of the years of the life of man. And then after the flood, he said the years of man will be 120. So that kind of set the limit. And look, it's true. You know, another evidence that God's word is true. That, generally speaking, people die about 70, and that's been historically true. And some people, by strength, live longer. But I never hear of anyone being 130, say. Let's say 120 is a soft limit, right? Another soft limit would be 80 and 70. Well, I hope to live way beyond 70, having already reached that year of my life. And I hope to live beyond 80, you know. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm not suicidal. And I'm not taking the jab. Yeah. So, the CBDC, it's coming. And the good news, and the best news of all, is that Christ is coming soon. He's not coming on the rapture schedule, because I believe all three raptures are going to pass by once they start building their Temple Mount Abraham Accord thing on the Temple Mount there, that the whole 7 years is going to go by. I wrote about it in the book. I wrote a little scenario, a fictional scenario, in one chapter of the book to kind of demonstrate how things may play out. But I believe that Jesus is coming soon, but not on that set, not within 7 years of when they start building the temple or a temple type building over there in Israel and have their Abraham Accord uniting the three Abrahamic faiths on one compound on the Temple Mount there. But he is coming, and I believe that. I also have a chapter in my book, and you can see the article on my website. It's called What Year Is It? And I posit or speculate that it will be about the year 2055. I'm not going to say exactly. I'm not setting a date, but I'm saying, according to my best information, and you can check it all out, going with a Bible chronology that gets us from Adam to Christ. And then after that, we use the Roman calendar because we have enough information to go on to be pretty accurate since we started using the Roman calendar to get us from Christ to where we are today to make the end of the sixth millennium about the year 2055. Making that also about the beginning of the seventh millennium, which is the Sabbath millennium or the millennial reign of Christ. And that's the proposition. Okay. And, it's all in the book there for you in the Abraham Accord. If you'd like to check it out, I believe that I even have, let me see. I think, did I put that, chapter 8? No, I didn't. I don't think I put the what year is it in that chapter, in that book. But it is on my website. So if you go to my website, crosstheborder.org, this is my homepage. You'll see in the upper right-hand corner, right there, if I could scroll it, bring it down there. Yeah, you'll see right there the what year is it. There's a blue globe. It says, what year is it? So if you click on that, that'll take you to my what year is it posting here. And I give you charts and go through the whole Bible itself to bring you up to the time of Christ. And then we even have a discussion on the calendars. So in all of the scripture, I mean, you can follow it. You can look in your own Bible. It's yourself. And you can follow it through and verify everything I've said. And there's and then we have discussions on the Julian calendar, the Roman Gregorian calendar. We even speak about the Jewish calendar and why it's wrong. And it's obviously wrong. And then you'll find at the end, and there's our conclusion. There's the summary charts. If you click on that, it makes it big and you can see it's all charted out. Everything that's written in that post is charted out. So definitely want to check that out. And then at the end, there's 103, oh, wait a minute, no. Oh, 109 comments and questions and discussion on there. So there's 109 posts just on the comments and questions. So if you have any questions about it, someone's probably already asked it. And through a process of several years, I refined this to where it is today, making corrections. And that had a lot to do with my people who replied in the comments and questions and brought up other things. And so you can see the refining process that took place there to come to our conclusion and our final edit of the What Year Is It posting there on my website. So you definitely might want to check that out. And like I said, there's a summary chart. When you click on it, it fills the whole page and becomes easy to read. You'll see here at the end, it says the year 2055 down here. Yeah, the year 2055 is 5999, the end of the sixth millennia and beginning of the seventh millennial and the millennial reign of Christ. And sorry for all you amillennials out there. If you're truly his, you won't miss it. You'll finally realize that you were wrong in believing in a speculation that is only based on conjecture, yeah, and hypothesis alone. Not good enough for me. That's the way I feel about it. So make sure you take advantage of that there. Let's see, what? No gold and silver coin banks. Yeah, they're called piggy banks. You keep them in your house. Hide your money well. Don't put it in the usual spot where people would look. Yeah, don't keep it in someone else's vault in another part of the world or another state or another, you know, part of the state you're in. Because when the proverbial stuff hits the fan, I have a feeling that all of that vaulted stuff is going to disappear quickly. Because first, the government will go get it if it's in a vault and it's public and they know where it is. They'll go get it because they already have the right to take your money out of your bank account. And that includes everything in your safe deposit boxes in your banks. None of that stuff is safe, even by law anymore. By law, they can go take everything out of the bank, even your safe deposit box stuff. So that's not even a safe place. You're going to have to be a little more clever than that if you're going to, you know, when the proverbial stuff hits the fan, they drop the first nuke and the electricity goes off. Yeah. And you can't even get gas in your automobile or charge your electric car up. Okay, let's take a chance here. Your name and where you're calling from. We have a minute.
Hello.
Go ahead, speak. Yes, this is Nicholas. Who is this?
My name's Josh. I've been listening to you today. I think I caught you a couple times before, but you kind of break it up. Can you hear me good?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Go ahead.
I wanted to give you a little bit more information on using silver and gold when you're dealing with the gas stations and why these Arabs are actually taking the coins. In commerce, by federal law, what is stamped on a U.S. coin is its legal tender value. So let's say you go to the gas station and you buy $100 worth of gas and you give the gas attendant four silver dollars. Well, he just sold you that gas for $4 according to his book, legally. And there's no law against being a bad businessman. So he gets to write off the difference between what he paid for that gas.
Uh-huh.
And what he sold it for.
Yeah.
Then, now he's got four unique coins in his drawer. He could take $4 bills out of his pocket, stick it in his drawer, take those four coins out, put those four coins in his pocket. His books are the same. He's broken no laws. And he makes out like a bandit.
Yeah, well, as long as I get my value in gas, what do I care?
Well, I'm saying it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I had never thought about that part of it, but I guess that would be true. But if he owns the gas station, and then yeah, he can do whatever he wants. I mean, doesn't matter to me. I just want my $100 worth of gas for my four silver dollars.
Well, here's the other thing. As far as Christians are concerned, us Christians are concerned, we're commanded in the Bible to not use unequal weights and balances and not to have diverse weights in our bag.
Exactly.
The dollar bill, fiat currency, are unequal weights and balances, and you're not showing love to your neighbor by using them. And we need to stop, and we can kill this beast by stop. Well, we're not going to kill the beast, but we cannot participate and not give power to the beast.
Yeah. Well, I agree we should do everything we can in that vein, everything possible. And that's why I even using cash, because at least you hold it in your hand.
Sure.
And possession is 9/10 of the law, so at least there's a vestige of true ownership there.
Well, there isn't, though, because...
I know.
You know about the use of debt notes.
Yeah, I know. But still, okay, there's the possession part of it.
You don't actually pay for anything, so you don't own it. And the law states, so this is admiralty law and the law of notes, is that when you discharge the debt, the person who promises to pay owns the goods. So look on your debt note, see who promises to pay, and that's why you pay taxes on what you own, because you don't owe it.
Yeah. Well, I'm out of time, my friend. Gotta go. Okay, well, that's all we have time for today, folks. So you've been listening to Across the Border, a live prophecy reality edition. May the Almighty bless you and keep you until we meet again.